who can go the opposite direction. Bill Madlock was another really good hitter. I mean, he won a couple of batting titles, if I'm not mistaken, and he was able to move the ball around the field. So, you know, it can be done, but I digress. Yesterday, as far as Hendricks goes, he was talking about fastball command again, and Bruce and I both noticed that his pitches were elevated yesterday. And he's walked more guys. His command is not as good, whether it's fastball command or any command. You're seeing him walk more batters. I'm sure that that number is up. His ERA is up accordingly because guys are getting on base, and whether they're hitting the ball hard or getting some obvious, you know, periodically dink hits here and there like they did in the first inning yesterday, that's why his ERA is up. Bottom line is, he's not pitching to his optimum like he has in the past. There's nothing physically wrong with him, so that is at least a positive that if he can get his mojo and everything else working the way, and he's a very scientific pitcher, if you will. I mean, you've dealt with him as much as I have. He's, like you said, he's very contemplative. Mm-hmm. He's very scientific, and he does have that
smart.
He's got that Dartmouth degree going for him.
Right.
And I am confident that he will get his stuff together more so in the second half.
I completely agree. It's fair to break down and acknowledge and be concerned for the moment about what has gone on recently with Kyle Hendricks, but he always manages to figure it out and adjust and be really good down the stretch, and we know what he's done in the past in the playoffs. There was some really good defense, too, for the Cubs yesterday on Kyle Hendricks' watch, and specifically a really slick-looking double play.
They
in
work
the
on that,
inning.
You know, and I talked to Rizzo about that after yesterday's game. He sort of ho-hummed it, but it was so beautifully executed. He knew the pitcher was going to lay down the bunt.
Right,
obviously.
Let me set it up. Yeah, fourth inning, you had, was there two on? Two on?
There
for
were
the,
first and second.
First and second for the Tigers, the pitcher. Michael Fulmer at the plate, obviously a bunt situation. He lays it down, a charging Anthony Rizzo, like he does, like a bull.
And he laid it down where he should be laying it down to the third base side.
Right.
But Rizzo basically was almost in the batter's box before the pitcher's even there.
So, and it looked so smooth because he had his momentum going forward. Rizzo scoops it up on the third base side, as you said, charging hard.
And a left-handed throw, which makes it easier to throw to third base.
Baez covering third, and then Baez
with
just
a rocket.
Like a dart to a covering Ben Zobrist. And since Zobrist is covering, that's a 3-5-4 double play.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No, and what did Rizzo say? Rizzo said no big deal.
Well, I mean, you know, I've seen them work on this a lot in spring training and even during games this season, and I think they've pulled it off previous. But yesterday was so picture perfect yesterday.
Yeah. I think Rizzo loves that too. Like there's been a couple of times where he's done, like he charges closer than any first baseman that I've seen. And maybe there's others that do it more because obviously we don't see every team play every night, but he gets so close to the batter. There's been a couple of times where where guys pull the bat back and take the full swing and Rizzo's like, whoa,
you know,
it's like, wait a minute. You can't, but he's fearless in that regard, and he was rewarded big time for it yesterday.
Again, it was exactly how you put it on paper and how to do it.
It's a thing of beauty. They had another double play the Cubs did in the fifth inning. Nick Castellanos, against Kyle Hendricks, hits a line drive. Hendricks looked like he was going to catch the ball, and it would have just been the one out. Instead, the ball gets past him. Zobrist basically catches the ball at second base, flings it over to first, or steps on the bag, throws it over to first for the double play. Hendricks was so mad at himself for not catching the ball. But it panned out pretty nicely. So, strong defense behind Kyle Hendricks. And Hendricks' numbers yesterday, again, 5 innings, allowed 3 runs on 7 hits, struck out 2, 1 walk, a 4.27 ERA, and here is a telling statistic, too. Other than the home runs I talked about, where he's uncharacteristically high in terms of home run volume this year, giving up 16, his ERA in the first inning, David, is at 8.47.
Well, a lot of the Cub pitchers, and that was another thing that Joe Maddon talked about in yesterday's postgame, you know, coming from behind victories, of which the last 5 wins have all been coming from behind, and he pointed it to it. You know, he wasn't too critical, but it's a fact that the starting pitchers have given up a lot of early runs, specifically in the first inning, so the Cubs have had to battle back to get all these wins over this last five games.
312-644-6767. If you want to talk about the Cubs or the White Sox, a lot more good than bad with the Cubs right now, though. I mean, it's amazing how in the distance past the Red Series seems, and it was bad, having been swept at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati in four games, but all of a sudden the Cubs have completely neutralized that by winning five straight games.
And revenge could be theirs, as the Reds will be coming to town after one more day off tomorrow. It'll be the Reds Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right, and they are taking on the White Sox again today, and the White Sox have your guy, Dylan Covey, going.
Dylan Covey, who's been surprisingly overall pretty good, but his last game, not so good.
Right. A.O. Sal Romano going for the Reds today. The White Sox with a come-from-behind win over the Reds. Lucas Giolito shaky in the first, shaky in the fifth inning, giving up bombs pretty much all night. Not a good night for Lucas Giolito, but Yoan Moncada with the three-run triple late. Yomer Sanchez also had an RBI triple to follow that one up. Get ready, Stoney. I'm about to say something hilarious. And then Avisaíl Garcia, you at least saw the highlights of those puppies. I mean,
which is a good thing that he's all of a sudden, after a slow start coming off the DL, and he was out for quite a stretch, he's starting to hit. And don't doubt for a second that if the White Sox get some kind of offer for him, he is gone.
Oh, yeah.
He is gone. And, you know, if they can fetch something for him, I don't think they're going to get much for James Shields. I'll be honest with you. I'm sure he's on the market. I don't think there's any question about that. And a team like Milwaukee might want to pick him up. And like, I think it was Tony, our earlier caller, the Cubs specifically want to get somebody, and he mentioned Jacob DeGrom, which I don't think is going to happen. You want to get somebody who you think can pitch in the postseason.
Yeah.
Is James Shields, not for the Cubs, I'm saying, but is James Shields going to be picked up by somebody who's a pennant contender,
nope,
or at least a playoff contender?
No, he's not a playoff pitcher. Sorry.
Well, he was once upon a time.
Oh, absolutely. He was Big Game James. But he's not a guy. He's a guy like everybody says, and I think this is one of those, like, it's a compliment in one regard, but in the other side, it's not. He's an innings eater. He's a guy that'll give you innings, take a little bit of pressure off the bullpen. But no, James Shields is not a guy who I want starting in game two or three of a playoff series at this point in his career. At one point in time, absolutely. I mean, overall, James Shields has had a very good career. But no way do I want James Shields in my playoff starting rotation.
My guess is that even if the White Sox are able to trade him, you're going to, at best, get a very low-level minor league prospect. I think that's really what his market value is at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody's given up anything when it comes to James Shields at this point. 312-644-6767. Not only the Cubs and Sox, we've got Bulls talk, Jimmy Butler, and some Bears talk coming up. We've got David Schuster, 4th of July fun. This guy was working hard into the night to come up with a few other fun topics for us here
on
this day.
Besides, you know, the eating contest, and again, if you're just waking up and you're not too nauseous from, you know, the holiday and everything else, meaning the fireworks and the drinking from last night, and boy, it was loud in my neighborhood last night.
Well, I live right by Navy Pier, so.
Oh, my God. I'm sure it's probably still ringing in your ears.
Well, it pretty much does every night. They've got a show there every night.
So anyway, Joey Chestnut does his eating contest. He's probably going to win the hot dog eating contest later today at Coney Island. And we want to hear from you, and this is going to be a theme through the rest of the show, of some of your food escapades, of how much you've eaten over the years in different contests, or just pigging out at one of your local establishments. Want to hear from you on that. But there's a few other things also, Mark. It was pretty interesting, and I think we might have this on tape. If we do, love to hear it, because I read all the quotes from the St. Louis president, John Mozeliak.
Mozeliak, yeah.
Mozeliak, how do you say it?
Mozeliak, I do believe.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference.
Mozeliak. Just say it like Harry, and you're always good.
He didn't do himself or his franchise any favors. Now, he might not be incorrect, you know, about Dexter Fowler, what he said. But if you're a free agent, you know, ever considering the Cardinals on the heels of what he said yesterday, you might not want to go there.
Right. So Mozeliak basically questioned the effort of, you know, we might have, hey, Zach, try to find the John Mozeliak. I know I heard it on the Score yesterday, so it's got to be in there somewhere, the full quote of what he is talking about when it comes to Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, he basically questioned his heart, his effort, his intensity, all the above.
You know Dexter Fowler very well. He's having a tough year. There's no other way to put it. How do you try to get him going, Mo? What do you do from the Cardinals' standpoint to try to get him on the right track?
Yeah, I would agree. It's been a frustrating year for everybody involved. And here's a guy that wants to go out and play well. I think he would tell you it's hard to do that when you're not playing.
Exactly.
And not playing on a consistent basis. But I've also had a lot of people come up to me and question his effort and his energy level. And, you know, those are things that I can't defend. What I can defend is trying to create opportunities for him, but not if it's at the expense of someone that's out there hustling and playing hard. And I think really everybody just needs to take a hard look in the mirror and decide, you know, what they want that next chapter to look like. And in Dexter's case, you know, maybe taking just a brief time out, trying to reassess himself and then give him a chance for a strong second half is probably what's best for everybody. So I'm hopeful to touch base with him in the near future and really just decide what makes the most sense. But clearly, he's not playing at the level we had hoped.
That's about the most full context we can get in terms of John Mozeliak on there with the Cardinals TV broadcaster. Just from a couple of days ago, the only thing I will say, and having heard that now and read that it sounds like it's possible, this is just my guess, that maybe some of his teammates have been complaining.
Sure.
That he felt, Mozeliak felt empowered to say what he said, which is highly uncharacteristic of a general manager general managers have definitely felt that way about players, but they have not voiced it that publicly, that loudly. My guess is that some of his teammates, there's been whispers about Dexter Fowler that he felt empowered to do that because he has to have been doing it for somebody else and not just himself.
In St. Louis, that's what you're hearing, I guess, behind the scenes. You didn't hear that in Chicago.
No.
At least we did not. And actually, we asked some players, and I know we'll have Bruce on again after 10 o'clock. He specifically talked to players about this subject yesterday, and we'll hear from him later on. And we asked Joe Maddon in the pre-game press conference yesterday, and he didn't want to touch that one. He kept talking about Dexter being a great guy and a great friend. But when it was brought up, well, did he ever sort of jake it on the field or, you know, not put forth the effort? He didn't touch that one. He just didn't touch that one at all.
Well, I think that it's the classic, since he's not hitting, the nonchalant, perhaps, demeanor and posture of Dexter Fowler maybe shines through. When he's going, you go, we go, it's all good. But when it's not, then the laid-back Dexter Fowler doesn't look real good. So, I mean, that's my only guess at this point. And it's too bad because he was nothing but good for the Cubs in terms of, I mean, the offense still has never been as good as it was when Dexter Fowler was the leadoff hitter for the Cubs. It just hasn't.
That part is correct. Now, the one thing about Dexter Fowler, and he wasn't your prototypic leadoff man like we talked about earlier in the show, not blinding speed by any stretch of the imagination, didn't steal that many bases,
right,
but he was an on-base kind of guy.
Totally.
I mean, as good as he was here, I think his on-base was even higher in Colorado before the Cubs brought him, you know, over to Chicago. I mean, he had on-base percentages for a full season. This is a guy, you know, who didn't walk all that many times either, but his on-base at times was 390, upper 380, stuff like that, and was pretty consistent here in Chicago. Now, obviously, once he signed the big money deal, and, you know, I don't know if they're thinking, well, he got the money and run, or ran in this instance, you know, and he's sort of jaking it ever since. But he's not hitting and he's not getting on base. And
right,
if he's not doing either one of those, he's obviously not worth very much to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right. And at the age of 32 or 33, whatever he is, he could be on the natural decline too. And it's funny, you bring up like what he did for the Cubs in the leadoff spot. And this gives me the chance again to talk about something that bugs me. A pet peeve of mine is people who say, well, you only lead off one time in a game. To me, sometimes that one time that a guy leads off can be one of the most important at-bats of the game. So if you really want to look at it that way, you only lead off one time. Well, that one time, like how many times, like think about Dexter Fowler, How many times did he go up there and have an 8, 9, or 10 pitch at bat? Even if he didn't get on base, he would always get a long look at that pitcher to start to run up his pitch count, to give his teammates sitting in the dugout and the on deck circle to get an idea of what the opposing pitcher is throwing. And a lot of times he did get on base, whether by walk or by hit. That first at bat of the game to me is incredibly important.
And I'm 1,000%. There's no such thing as 1,000%.
Absolutely, there is.
I just broke my cardinal rule of exaggeration. 100%. What did I just do? I hate myself for that. 100% in agreement with you. The leadoff hitter, even if it's only one time, and invariably it seems to be a lot more than just one time a game, or even if you come up, you know, with you're not leading off an inning, the pitcher leads off, he makes an out, but you're basically the secondary leadoff hitter, if you understand what I'm saying. It's setting the tone, the top of the order. That's what a leadoff hitter is worth his weight in gold. You're setting the order at the top of the, setting the tone for the top of the order. Then hopefully the second guy, I mean, going back to when Bobby Dernier and Ryan Sandberg, the daily double back in those years, back in the 80s, that was setting the tone. These two guys were on base all the time. That's what you want. Bless you. Double bless you. That was the sneeze button you just used three times.
Wow. People ever ask, hey, so what do you do when you have to sneeze? Well, that's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. This is a good time to go to Joe on the Northwest side. What up, Joe? You are on the score.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Joe.
After years, decades of us getting good players from other teams, and then they come here and stink, finally things have turned around. Now we're sending good players to other teams, and they stink for them. With the exception of Darvish, it sort of happened.
I didn't hear the last part of what you said. Say that again, Joe.
Well, go ahead, Joe.
That we've really turned around here, and that for years we've had other players. We would get other good players from other teams, and they come here and suddenly stink. And now the opposite's happening. Oh. We're sending good players to other teams, and they're stinking there.
I see what you're saying.
Darvish. They sort of happened to us with Darvish this year, but.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
it's such a turnaround. I was so used to it going the other way, where we get someone and all of a sudden they come here and the Cub virus would infect them. That's over with now, it seems.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've always said, and part of it too is because you have your own core of guys offensively. You're really not depending on free agents when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. Jason Hayward was a whopper of a deal, and until the last month, I don't think that the call could be backed up, though, as far as Fowler is concerned.
Let me ask you, Mark, as a fan, not as a reporter here or a journalist or just as a fan, when a guy goes from Chicago to another team, signs as a free agent or even is traded away, as a fan, do you hope that he does not do well?
Well, kind of, right? I mean, you don't want a guy to go tear it up elsewhere because then you feel bad that he's not on your team.
I guess sometimes with me, it would almost depend, again, as a fan, it would depend on the character of that guy. There have been some, you know, maybe I'm too close to the forest to see the trees on this one. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I deal with a lot of these guys, obviously, and I either get to like them or just the opposite sometimes because of their personalities.
Yeah, well, I think Dexter Fowler was different. I don't think that, obviously, he played for the Cardinals, so you couldn't root for him because that is direct competition, that's a serious conflict. But I think ultimately people have always hoped for the best for Dexter Fowler, and he obviously was mostly and still is mostly cheered when he comes. He's had some big hits against the Cubs in a Cardinals uniform as well. So it's not been, you know, as smooth for the Cubs as they like in terms of playing against Dexter Fowler. But, I think that usually when you lose a player from your team, if they're in a different division or a different league, then you kind of hope for them. In the Cubs' case, it's great because you've won a World Series now. So you kind of have the luxury of hoping that anybody does well. That any of these guys, especially guys that were on the 2016 team that no longer are. All right, we will take a break right now. I've got to get myself together. I need some Kleenex. Last few minutes has been a little bit shaky here on my end with a 3 sneezes in a row. But when we come back, we will get into some basketball talk. Jimmy Butler, specifically, who is on the cover of the Sun Times today. I know that Joe Colley wrote something yesterday some interesting stuff going on with Jimmy Butler, maybe with the Chicago Bulls, and your calls at 312-644-6767. This is Chicago Sports Radio.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit Illinois.